Well, are you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. February is what they call the month of love. I guess because of February 14th, Valentine's Day, and be having a Valentine's banquet. But it's a lot more than that. So I talked to God, and He spoke to me, and it felt like that February would be a good month not only to talk about love, although the foundation of relationships is love, but to talk about relationships this month. And I talk about what's necessary for good relationships, healthy and effective and wholesome relationships. And so I want to talk about that. Today is, I believe, the foundation of relationships, and that is love. So I'll be talking about love today. But our relationships one with another are important. You know, the Bible says in Matthew to go into the world and to bring the lost in. The Great Commission is for us to go to the world and cause them, go into highways and byways, and compel them, the Bible says, to come to know Jesus. And so what does that take? That takes relationships. Jesus had relationships. He worked with those men, and they are great examples to me, those especially that were hard to get along with and kind of knuckleheads at sometimes and confronted Jesus. And even Peter, we saw a few weeks ago, Peter even confronted Jesus and rebuked him. And that was a bad day for Peter, so he learned a lot. Well, see, I can learn from stuff like that. Those relationships that Jesus had that he spoke into is really the best lesson for us to learn. He is the perfect example of relationship and of love and for dealing with each other in love. And somebody said, well, if it wasn't for people, I'd go to church. If it wasn't for people, I'd serve God. So people can be a challenge. Everybody's different. Now, I love dealing with people. I was in corporate world back in the late 80s and left it because I was stuck in a booth between two felt walls and a desk, and I just wasn't being fulfilled. I was there from 8:30 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, had a 30-minute break, and left and went home. And I wasn't with people enough. I love people. You say, well, how can you do that? It's such a challenge. I love people. I love interacting with people. I love helping people. I love listening to people. I love learning from people. And so that's part of relationships. Relationships are important. Relationships are vital. Some people say, well, I'm just going to go home and hide in my closet and stay away from people because I don't like them. Well, you are a people too. We're all people. And so even when people are a little more challenging than other people, everybody can be challenging from time to time. Ask Crystal. Everybody can be a challenge every once in a while. But how can we learn to react and to act and to cause our character toward people to be effective, to be healthy, to be wholesome? So that's what I want to talk about. A scripture that I want to kind of head this all with today for the next few weeks is Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:23 says this, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, right? Not to men. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. God, I thank you that relationships are important to you. God, this is a very, very necessary subject, Lord, for me to learn from, and for us to learn from, and for us to learn from you. Father, show us your word today and draw us closer to you in a deeper relationship with you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love is the foundation of relationships. I mean, what better place to learn about relationships than from the Word of God? Relationships, marriages. A couple of weeks, Crystal and I will be married 34 years. I mean, I can't believe that. Is that right, 34? I can't remember my age, but I can remember that. 34 years. And honestly, I mean, honestly, it doesn't seem like it's been 10 years. I mean, I don't know where the time has gone. Somebody said the other day, Tim and I walked into a restaurant, and she said, oh, you, and we go there frequently, and she said, oh, you brought your friend with you today. I said, man, I like that. And I said, actually, this is my son-in-law. She said, what? How old are you? I said, I'm 20, and I walked out. Relationships are important. 34 years of marriage, and I, like I said, I don't know where the time's going, but it takes work, more on Crystal's part than mine. It takes work. You know, we're two different people. Every relationship takes two people. And two people come together. This one's got their opinion, and this one's got their opinion, and they're supposed to somehow come to an agreement. I mean, otherwise, we would bump heads, we'd have a disagreement, and we'd go separate ways. It happened all over again, happened all over again. And sometimes, honestly, sometimes that does happen. Rather than confronting what I need to learn from that and to grow through it and mature through it, I run away from it, and I face the same thing over again. Face the same thing over again and never really learn. So I feel like this is important. First, our relationship is with Jesus. But you know what? Really, just because we can't see Jesus, we still need to go through the same maturing process because he's always right. I mean, he's always right. And so when we disagree with him, we're disagreeing with the best plan, the one who created us, that knows what our plan should be, that knows that what path we need to take in order to fulfill our potential. And so our relationship first needs to be with Jesus. But out of that, what I want to talk about today, out of that is a foundation of love that causes us to deal with other people differently in their imperfections and even in my imperfections. So I believe we can grow more. I believe we can grow deeper. I believe we can have more healthy and more effective relationships with Jesus, number one, and with each other, number two. And then out of that, we can have relationships with other people that we can come in contact with. There are men in my life that I talk to on a regular basis that aren't even part of the church yet, that I'm working with. The Lord has opened opportunities for me to speak into their life and for me to learn from them. Yeah, I'm still learning too. And so we interact back and forth, and we'll have lunch together, or we'll play golf together, or we'll spend some time together, or just sit and coffee. Sometimes we'll meet for coffee, and we'll sit and we'll talk about things. And so God is the practical issues that I'm talking about today concerning love being the foundation of relationships. I actually put those into play because sometimes in those relationships, especially maybe if they're not totally sold out to God, maybe they see things differently. And there's a way to interact with people in that way, not to come across and say, "Well, do things my way, do things God way, and you'll be okay." You know, that's not necessarily reacting in love, is it? So there's a way. Jesus, and all this is stuff I hadn't planned to say, but Jesus even went to the woman at the well and didn't condemn her, but in love, he tried to reach out to help her. So many times we need to have that same ability, that same insight, but there's something that I need to do first. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, "I beseech you therefore," in other words, "I strongly encourage you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." In other words, that everything in our life, everything that's involved in our life, it should pour through God first. That's what he's saying. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That doesn't mean kill yourself and be on the altar and say, "Oh, God, I'll kill myself for you." No. So it doesn't mean in a physical sense. It means to present our bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, pour everything, relationships, everything that's in my life, my job, all the things that I face from Sunday morning to Sunday morning, everything in between, every moment. So everything, present my body, present everything, my work, my family, my finances, my hobbies, life at home, social life, all those things are things that we all do. It's all part of our life. Every part of that we need to present to Jesus. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He goes on to say in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world." Well, to me, that's giving us a warning that there's a different way that we can do things that's not necessarily God's way of doing things. So he's warning us not to be conformed to the world. In other words, don't be so adjusted to the world, to the way the world does things, that we're so comfortable that we blend in or fit in so well that we don't see God's way of doing it. Another scripture, it says, be in this world but not of the world. In other words, we've got to live in the world. We've got to survive. We've got to work. We've got to go to Harris Teeter and Winn-Dixie. We've got to buy gas. All these things we've got to do, but there's a different way that we can do things as we see the light that God's given us to do that. So we don't blend in, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we've just come out of a series in January talking about the Lord changing us on the inside. So here again, it points that out, that our change has got to come from inside of us. Renewing your mind, focusing on God, focusing on His way, that ye may prove what is good, what is acceptable and perfect. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, God through this process will develop a level of maturity in us that we can't achieve any other way. We can read books, we can go to seminars, we can get some of the best speakers and learn different things, but unless it's Bible-based, unless it's found out of the Word of God, unless it's coming out of the Scripture here, there's not a good, acceptable, and perfect way. If it doesn't come out of here, then it's man's opinion. May or may not work, but if it does work, it's temporary. So the only way to really achieve what God wants you to achieve, and every person is achieved with high potential. Every breathing person is achieved for high potential. And so it boils down to our relationship with Jesus first, our relationship with God first. We can't relate to God like the world relates to one another. It's basically what it's saying here, what we just read. There's a different way of relating than the world standard of relating. There's a deeper way, more effective way of relating. Friendships, marriages, as I said, even parenting with our children, even children to parents. So all that's relationships. You say, well, if they would just do what I told them to do, I'd be fine. I think I said a few weeks ago, I haven't come up with a Bible verse yet that tells us how to fix other people. It's always scriptures on how to fix us. How can Mike be better and more like God? So I think the work needs to start with me, huh? Work needs to start right here. So relationships are vital to everyday living. We all have relationships. We all work with people. We work around people. But the origin, the very author of love, the foundation of relationships comes from God. I mean, we all know the scripture. Many times it's a cliche. We'll see it on a sign. We just pass right and blow right by it, not even thinking, giving thought to it. But John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave. So his relationship with us, him being the founder, him being the origin, him being the author of love, the God of the universe, we know that he created every living thing, every living organism, us. He created everything. Everything under, in, and over. Everything in the earth God created. So he so loved the world. Now, who is in the world? We are. We're in the world. We're among the living here. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the author, the origin, the one who created love, God is love. So how do we love? What does love look like? What does real love? I mean, we can flip on the television. You can go to the internet. I mean, you can plug in love and you'll get all sorts of descriptions and everything else to go along with it. But those definitions that maybe we come up with will be completely contrary to what the Word of God calls love. God's love is a pure love. It's a high love. There's no greater love than the love of God. But as we read here, the verb in the Bible for love is give. The verb for love is give. God gave. He so loved you. He so loved me that he gave. So it requires action to express love. I love you. How do you know I love you? It's not just because I said it, right? Everything in the Word of God, from the front cover to the back cover, everything in the Word of God, every instruction, every promise, everything in the Word of God is hinged on love. Every correction, everything that God has put in this Word, it's all hinged on love. There's nothing that God gives us, nothing that God speaks to us that is not first found in love. There are five things I want to give you that describes God's love. God's love is unconditional. God loves you unconditionally. You don't have to come to God in any certain way to receive God's love. He said God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't say gave except for those who he didn't. He didn't exclude any of us. He didn't say that we had to meet certain qualifications to receive his love. His love is absolute. His love is steadfast. His love is unfailing. His love is always there. His love never goes away. On your worst day, God loves you. It's unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. God's love is there. It's always there. Second thing is, God's love is sacrificial. It costs God something to give his love to you. God's love required something of him to give you. He gave. He supplied his love to you. He gives his love freely to you, but it cost him something to give it. It's sacrificial. God's love is sacrificial. It's more than just an emotional giving. We know that Jesus bled and died. We know that he went through pain and agony to give his life as his Father sent him to do that. So it was a sacrifice. It was a great sacrifice. And so we know that it was not without pain. Third thing is, God's love is personable. God's love, yes, is for this church. He loves this church. He loves America. He loves the world. But he loves you individually. Each and every one of you, God loves. He's personable. He's an individual God. He loves me. He loves you, each and every one of you. God's love is personable, directly and personal to each person. Fourth thing is, God's love is acceptable. You say, well, I just can't receive love. Some people will tell you they can't receive love. I don't know. I just can't receive love. I've heard people say that. But God has put in you, and that's maybe there'll be some answers to that somewhere along the way here this month. Sorry to say it was a separate sermon, but we may actually hit on some of that. But God has put the ability in you to receive his love. No matter how hurt you have been, no matter how disappointed you have been, God has put the ability in you to receive his love. He gives his love, and it's acceptable. And fifth, it's accessible. God's love is accessible. I need God's love. It's accessible. God never cuts his love off to you. He never limits his love. Well, I'll give you love up to that point, and past that point, you disqualify. His love is accessible, always accessible. And see, we're all created, every person is created for the desire, the yearning, and the need for love. A baby just being born needs love, needs a soft, warm cuddle. You know what? From that baby that's 1 second old to own up to 120 years old, you'll always desire a nice cuddle, a nice love. Amen. Amen. So we've got to invite Jesus in our life. His love is accessible, and we approach God with saying, God, I need your love. I want your love, Lord. But there are times that love is hard. Love is hard to give. Sometimes it's hard to receive. 1 John 4:9. We're going to spend a few moments here. 1 John 4:9. We'll begin with verses 9 to 12. We'll jump to 16, then we'll jump to 19. But 1 John 4:9-12 says this: in this was manifested the love of God toward us, that's every one of us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You may want to underline that, because that is, if you really, if you're like me, you've just read past that and you really didn't, that really didn't hit you in the gut. That hit me in the gut when I read it. That we might live through. In other words, our love, the love that we experience, we're to love through God. That changes everything. That we're not loving from us. It's not me loving you just from Mike. It's me loving you through God. It's you loving me through God. That makes it to where I can relax a little bit. I'm not trying to impress you, because your love for me comes through God. So that means that your love does all the five things that I just read. So if you're loving me through God, man, I really feel your love. If I'm really loving you through God, you really feel my love. You see the depth of that. I love you greatly. I can't describe how much I love you, but my love for you really is deeper than that, than I can describe, because my love comes to you through God. It says that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love. This is the description of love. Herein is love, verse 10 says. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice, to be the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Oh boy, I knew you were going there. So it's not just about me receiving God's love. It's about us loving one another. No man hath seen God at any time if we love one another. Let me stop right there. I heard somebody's thought. You say, well, somebody must not be loving somebody. So you're getting on to us because we're not loving enough. Oh, contrary. No, if there's ever been a church that loves, it's this church. And everybody that comes through here says, wow, the people at your church, they really showed me their love. So no, that's not it at all. But I think that it's important to Jesus. It's important to us too. We change our oil in our car. Why? Because we want it to last longer. This is just a little maintenance for us, you know, just to kind of keep in mind so that tomorrow when we face somebody that doesn't seem lovable, you know, we've got this in our mind. So anyway, I just wanted to, since I heard somebody say that, I wanted to approach that. If we love one another, God dwells in us. If we love one another, if we truly love one another through God, that means he dwells in us. And his love is perfected in us. So really the only way for us to love and to love like God loves is that it's got to go through him first. If our love goes through God's first, if our inability to love, we say, God, I love you, I receive your love. And if we go through him, that means that our love is unlimited, just like God's love. Jumping down to verse 16 of 1 John 4, says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Drop down to verse 19 of 1 John 4. We love him because he first loved us. So the only way that we have the ability to love, you know, our human tendency is to love by what you can do for me. See, it's not really the definition of true love, of God's love, but our love can be based on what you can do for me. It's kind of selfish, it's self-centered, it's self-serving. I'll love you if you'll scratch my back. I'll love you if you'll do this, if you'll give me this, if, you know. But according to God, he loved us when we couldn't give him anything. We had nothing to give. We were lifeless. We were lost. And so he loved us before all that. What he's calling us to do is the same thing. But we can only give what we receive. I can't give you that love until I first receive that love. Some people have a hard time receiving God's love. That's why I was going to say a while ago, it's a different topic, because it could be guilt, it could be pain, it could be disappointment, it could be my past, it could be that I'm rotten, it could be that I don't feel like I'm serving God, it could be that da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It could be all these things. I can make you a good list of why I can't receive God's love, but God is love. And if we learn to receive God's love has the ability to change us, to cause us to see things differently, so much so that I can love you unconditionally, that you don't have to impress me for my love for you. I love you before you open your mouth. But Pastor Mike, do you know what I said about you? Do you know that I told somebody the other day that you are just crazy? You know what? It doesn't matter. I love you anyway. It doesn't matter what you said about me. See, that's the place that I think we can get to if we were to learn to love people like that and not have our love fluctuate based on what people do and don't do for us. I love you anyway. When people come to me and say, will you please forgive me? Forgive you for what? And they tell me, and not in an arrogant way, I love them. I hug their neck. I said, you know what? You're already forgiven. I don't hold any grudge against you. And that's happened a few times in my lifetime. It set them free, but you know what? By me loving God, I was already free of it. I didn't say, oh, no, you didn't. You didn't say that about me. Uh-uh. Oh, you got it coming now. It's on, buddy. No, I mean, we don't have to react like that. We don't have to say, well, because you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. We don't have to be that way. We don't have to respond like other people respond. We can respond the way God responds. How would God respond? He loves unconditionally. He loved before we could love him back. And see, that brings us to a place of living freely, because all the time that people spend carrying all the garbage of the stuff, we have to get a notebook to keep track of the people that we don't like and why we don't like them. On page 143B, it gives his name and why I don't like him. We don't have to do that. We can burn that book. That's a book that we don't have to worry about putting in the library. We can replace that book with a book of love. You know what? I don't care what he did to me. I love him anyway. Now, we may not be friends, but if he needs something, you know what? I'm going to pray for him and do all I can to help him. If that's our attitude, y'all, we will come into a place of freedom, and everywhere we go, our ability to love is just off the chain. Not in a weird way, but in a way that's pure, that's freeing. Can you imagine the wrinkles that you'll be done away with? Those mad wrinkles, they'll get you. They go deep. Let them go. You have no more deep wrinkles. We love him because he first loved us. So the first thing we've got to do, the first way to love like Jesus loves, the first thing we've got to do, we've got to receive the love of God. We've got to truly receive the love of God. He has given us his love. But how many times do we limit God's love for ourselves? We've already read, he doesn't limit his love for us. But many times we limit the love that we receive from him because we don't think we're deserving of it. I'm not lovable. Deep in my heart, I've got this or I've got that, or I've done this or I've done that. Listen, it does not matter. Receive God's love. That's the first step right there. But we can always put these little interchanges in there. We always put these little hiccups in there. Unless the hiccup's in the Bible, we don't need to put a hiccup there. He loved us, period. And so receive the love of God. That's the first step. That's the first step of love, receiving love. How can I love if I can't even receive love? My love for you is going to be rotten if I can't even receive God's love. We can only give as we receive. That's just a principle of God. That's just the way we were made. God wants us to give what we receive. It could be in finances. Why does God just bless us with finances? So that we can give, so that we can help people. God will bring you to a place as you receive that and see it that way, that God will heap more on you than what you're able to spend for yourself. So you've got to find a channel to get rid of it, because God's blessed you so much. So that's the way it is with his love. He gives you so much love, you've got to get rid of it. Otherwise you're just floating around in pink hearts. I feel love. I feel God's love all the time. Yeah, give it out. Give some away. There are many people around us today that don't feel love. They don't think anybody cares for them. That's why when they walk in the door, they look for Elder Roth for a hug. I want my hug. Elder Roth has plenty of hugs. They want to feel loved. And that's in the church. How much more so in the world? People need love. And so we first got to receive God's love. We've got to receive God's love. God wants you to. Our human ability is to love, as I said, selfishly. What can you do for me? But in 4:19 of 1 John, we just read, we love him because he first loved us. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, it gives a perfect description of God's love. This is the way God loves us. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. You all have heard it. You've all read it. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. See, our human love is limited. Our human love becomes frustrated. She didn't act the way that I thought she should act, so I don't love her. You see, our human love is limited. Our human love gets fed up. Our human love has an expiration date. It could be the next second or it could be next month. But our human love is, it becomes depleted. Our human love becomes impatient. Our human love holds grudges. God's love does none of that. It's long suffering and is kind. And so the second thing we need to do, where we're going with this, is as we receive God's love, we've got to give God's love. What he wants you to do with the love that he gives you, he's going to give you more love than you need so that you can give love to others. We're living in an angry world. We're living in a world that's angry. They're full of hate, full of bitterness. And I believe that God's love could change our world. If we receive God's love as he intends for us to receive it, and as we give God's love as he intends for us to give it, I believe we could change the world around us. So God loves us so that we can love others. As we read a while ago, we need to love others. The full expression of God's love is shown as we love others. That's the full expression. Part of it is that we receive his love, but that's not the fulfillment of it. The fulfillment of God's love is when we receive it and we give it. It creates a cycle. And so as they receive God's love through you, then their life changes. We don't need to look at it like, well, it's because of me that they're a better person. We shouldn't look at it that way. We should see it that as God loves you and as we receive God's love, they become better. They become more lovable because God's love through you has been shown to them. They can in turn do the same thing. I guess you could call it a multi-marketing. It's passed down from the Father down to each one of us. So here's some practical ways this month that we can learn how to love each other. Learn how to deeply love God and love others. First, we can say it. We can say God's love. These are practical ways. As I was thinking and praying this week, as we were moving, you know that we moved last October, and as we were moving, we were going through different things and going through things that had been stuck back and stuffed back in boxes and things, and we ran across this note. And back used to, I would take Josh and Jordan to school every single day. They were at the Christian Renewal Academy in Brunswick. And so there were no buses running or anything like that. So we took them to school. So every morning I would take them to school. And so the note that I ran across the other day was a note that I put in their lunch bag and said, "Dad loves you." And somehow or another, we still had that note. And it reminded me of the way that we need to react to someone else. We need to tell somebody that I love you. Now, you've been here any amount of time. You've probably heard it more times than you've ever been told in your life. But that's good. We need to learn to say I love you. Sometimes it's hard for people to say I love you. Just say it. It's not that they don't love you. It's just hard to say it. But that's one thing that we can learn to do is say I love you. There are some people that has never, ever heard I love you. I think I told y'all sometime last year I was with a family and this young boy, I don't really know how old he is. He's maybe preteen. But you know me, I was hugging him by and loving the grandparents and the parents. And I came to him and I hugged his neck. I said, I love you. His eyes got big. He didn't even reply. I could tell that he had never heard that. And it breaks my heart. We need to say, I love you. Second thing we can do is write it. We can write it. I wrote that little note. You know what? That note, there's no telling how much longer it's going to last, especially now that we found it. Write it. Write it down. Buy a card for no reason at all. Don't wait till February 14th. Buy a card. Just write it down. Write it down. I love you. I want you to know I'm thinking about you. Write it down. Texting counts. Kind of. It's in black and white. It's better in handwriting, though, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So let's go with the handwriting. Write it out. Third way we can give love and show God's love is give it. Naturally, give it. Give love away. The smallest ways. I remember years ago, and I try to do it every so often, I came home with a bouquet of flowers. I forget what time of the year it was. Of course, Crystal's first reaction was, "What did you do?" Okay, I deserve that. I love you anyway. But just give it. Give love. You know, the smallest things, it can make such a difference. This month, I think we need to be more focused on. We can actually set up for ourselves some practical ways of doing this all year long. Let this be the month that we create some new habits of doing things, of showing love. Love should be shown all through the year. Receive the love of God, and we can give the love of God. Fourth, this is a big one, forgive. Forgive. We can show love by forgiving. The moment you tell someone that they're already forgiven, the moment you tell someone that who has hurt you that you love them, it will change their life. It will change their life. Someone that's expecting you to be mad at them, and you come in contact with them, for you to, you can hug them or not hug them, but you could say, you know what, I just wanted to tell you that I love you and I forgive you. Many times it's little things like that that their lives can be totally changed forever. Not only does it change their life, but it changes my life too, to be able to speak that. There's a release in me that comes that maybe it was holding me back. Sometimes we have grudges in our heart that we don't even realize we're carrying around. Sometimes it takes a situation or seeing someone to trigger, you know what, that thing is still there. I need to get rid of that. I need to get rid of that unforgiveness. We can't truly go as far as God wants us to go carrying that around. Did you know that Jesus forgave us? Jesus forgives us. And if it's real easy for me to forgive because of all the things that I think of that he's forgiven me for. The Bible goes on to say in Matthew that unless I forgive you, I can't even be forgiven from Jesus. So for me to receive forgiveness, I've got to give forgiveness. So it goes back to the principle of God. We give what we receive. He forgives us. Why? Not for us to put it in the cabinet and have the certificate. Yep, I'm forgiven. See there? Forgiven. Put it back in the cabinet, close the door. No, he forgives me so that I can in turn forgive you. He releases me from the penalty of sin so that I can release you from my penalty of the sin you've placed against me. You need to forgive it. Love forgives. Love forgives. Say it, write it, give it, forgive it, and then lastly, live it. Live love. Let it be as much a part of your life as breathing. If you're breathing, you should be loving. Give love. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It was for Jesus too. Love will require sacrifice. Love will require something of you. Love many times requires time. Time out of your busy schedule to make a phone call, to write a note, to buy a flower, to buy a card. It's a sacrifice of some way. Especially when maybe there's someone in a facility, Magnolia Manor or the Brunswick Nursing Home, that you feel like you need to go by and say you love. Well, you take an hour out of your day to do that. Imagine what change that can make in their life. But imagine how rewarding it'll be for you. Love. Love is a sacrifice, but we can live. We can live love. We can live love just like God lives love for us. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Whatever we face in life, whatever situation that we run across in life, whatever we find someone in the middle of, we can reach out to them, and wherever they are, we can extend love to them. We can live it. Live love. And show that God loves them too. God loves you. We need to first receive God's love. I believe there are some here this morning that hasn't really received God's love. You feel like you're unlovable. You feel like that you've gone past being loved by God. You can never go too far. Remember the parable of the boy that left his father and took all of his inheritance and left his father. His father's love never stopped. That's a reflection of God's love for us. That many times we take what blessings that God's given us, not really realizing that the blessings came from God, and we take it and we run, and we try to do our own things with the blessings that God's given us. And then when we come to our senses, we think, oh, you know what? I wish I could come back to God. I wish I could really earn God's love back. I know he doesn't love me now. But God's love continues. To the point that you have exhausted everything that he's given you, he still loves you. There's some this morning that can't get a grip of that, of how God loves you. I want to bow our head for a moment. The reason this one is first in our relationships in progress, the reason this one is first is because we've got to get an understanding of God's great love for us first. This is the very foundation of our relationship with Jesus and the foundation of our relationship with others. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments, Lord, that all of us, Lord, all of us will catch a glimpse of how great your love is for us. Father, you love us so much that you gave. Lord, there's some here today that feel like they've burnt through your love and they're no deserving. But Lord, I thank you that you show us today that you love us anyway. You love us anyway. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning, Father. Speak to us, Lord. Right where you are this morning, if there's anything you need to get rid of in your heart, if there's anything you need to tell the Lord right now, he's listening. Just get rid of it. Whether it's just admitting some hurt to the Lord and admitting something in your life that you feel like is holding you back, just tell the Lord right now in your spirit. Just talk to him. Talk to him right now. Just release that thing. Whatever it is that's been pointed out to you as I've been talking, that's maybe holding you back from receiving God's love, just release that right now. Release that thing right now. I believe the Lord wants to bring you to a new level of freedom in your life that you've never experienced before. And this is going to be the first step to it, is releasing that thing. Yeah, there have been hurts in life. There have been disappointments in life. You know what? There'll be more. There'll be more times that you can be discouraged. There'll be other times you can be disappointed and frustrated. But you know what? If today you receive the love of God, you'll be able to view those things differently. You'll be able to view those things as ways that God will take you through to make you stronger and to mature you. And you will know every step of the way that he loves you. Just open your heart to him right now. We're going to receive communion in just a moment. But I believe that this is necessary right here. If there's anything in your heart you need to release, release it. Release it. You don't have to do anything beyond just releasing your spirit. You don't have to do anything beyond that right now. Just tell the Lord, Lord, take this thing. Take this hurt in my heart. Forgive me, Lord, of this thing that I've done. Show me your way. Because everything in life revolves around Jesus. Everything in our life revolves around him. We're only here for X number of years. And what happens here will determine what happens in eternity. And so we've got an opportunity right now to say, Lord, show me your way. Show me your love. So that as we receive communion in just a few moments, we can remember the things that he's done for us. There's nothing that you need to do to receive the love of God except to open your heart to him. His love is there for you. These next few moments, as we prepare to receive communion this morning, we're going to remember the price that he paid. Part of that sacrifice that he made was so that you would see the love that he gives you today. His love is ever extending to you. Unconditional love, always accessible. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask our leaders to come stand with me here this morning and prepare the communion. We're going to worship. for a few moments? But I'm going to pray, and we're going to bless this bread. There's nothing special about this bread or juice, except that it symbolizes the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And as we receive this today, we do it remembering the price that he pays, the sacrificial love that he gave for us today. And if there's anything you need to release, just release it as you're coming before him. Don't not take communion just because you feel like you're not worthy to take communion. Hey, listen, if you're not worthy to take communion, I'm not either. Release those things this morning, and don't let anything stand in the way of you receiving the love of Jesus today. So, Father, right now I pray that as this bread represents your body, Lord, that we will be mindful of the price that you paid, the abuse that you took, Lord, for our salvation, so that we would experience your love. Lord, for this juice, as we receive it this morning, Lord, that it represents your blood as it flowed freely from your body, that you didn't get angry and you didn't fight against it. You took the pain so that we would experience your love today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the price that you paid, that we could receive your love today and know who you are. Lord, bless this time together as we worship you. God, open our eyes to where we can see you clearly today, to see that you are a God of love and that you want us to be loved so that we can love others. In Jesus' name.